From beautiful Toronto, Ontario, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, has pro cycling got so hard that riders are burning out early? We're talking about it in the wake of the apparent shock retirement of Giro d'Italia winner Simon Yates. But is all as it seems?
His is also not the only retirement this week, with several shock announcements to discuss. But there's business as usual as well, with insane ultra-endurance rides, new tech, and we've got a great new competition where you can win a Vision Metron 5D handlebar. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt how many pro cyclists it takes to push a car stranded on a wall back onto a road.
Lots. I'm glad we now know that as well, because I have been wondering.
I know. I was questioning that for a long time.
Yes, that's the Soudal Quickstep team, by the way, breaking up what was probably a mundane training ride in Spain by helping out a man who's wearing some lovely red trousers.
They were great trousers, weren't they?
Just like yours from 2014.
They were green.
You had multiple.
Multiple pastel colours, didn't I? We also learned that front derailleur fairings are not only a thing, they're also a bitterly contested product category.
Yeah, who knew?
I know.
So this is according to a RoadCC article. British brand Easy Gains are a bit miffed that another brand called Monoceros are selling a similar product, both of which, can I be honest, Dan, look a little bit pants. Right. About €90 seem like quite a significant investment.
What do you mean, Si? I mean, they can save you, what, 5.8 watts?
Yes. I mean, if you're that bothered about your front derailleur, just run one by.
True.
Anyway, I appreciate it. It's definitely a product for some people. Mm. I suspect Ollie has several already.
Ollie's probably got loads. I'll tell you what, Alex has got a gold one, almost guaranteed.
Yes, true. Yeah. Very true.
All right, finally this week, we learned that Simon Yates, as mentioned, is retiring from professional cycling.
Yeah, a huge surprise to everyone in the world of cycling. Outside, you'd assume, Yates' inner circle. Mm-hmm. At 33, Yates was certainly in the latter end of his career, but having won the Giro d'Italia and a stage of the Tour de France last year, he wasn't exactly struggling to keep up.
No, he wasn't suffering at the back of the peloton, was he?
No.
He was at the point of his career, I'd say, where he wasn't going to get any better, but hadn't yet got any worse.
He didn't really need to get any better, mate. He won the Giro.
Well, exactly, yeah. So you have to question why. Why retire and why right now?
Well, I mean, we'll probably never know the exact reasons why.
No.
In his statement, he simply said that now feels like the right time to step away from the sport. However, in the days since that announcement, a number of people have speculated that the intensity of pro cycling had simply got too much for him.
One of those people who was speculating was Visma Lisabike sports director Jesper Murku, who told Feltech.dk that he felt Yates had grown tired of the lifestyle and lost the desire. And that lifestyle is one that has almost undoubtedly become increasingly intense as Yates' career has progressed over the years.
Yeah, but why now? There were rumours that he was considering retirement immediately after his Giro d'Italia win in May. That would have been a mic drop and a half.
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah, but the team management persuaded him to continue and then allow him a bit more time to assess things.
Which worked out quite well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Given that he then went on to win a stage of the Tour de France, one of only two stages that the team took last year, along with Wout van Aert on the Champs-Élysées, of course. But the Tour de France was actually the last race that Simon Yates finished.
Hmm.
He then went over to Canada to compete in Quebec and Montreal, but didn't finish either race.
No. I mean, it's quite a good way to bow out, isn't it?
Not bad.
Really? Yeah, your last wins are a stage of the Tour de France and the Giro overall, and the last race you finished is the Tour de France.
Do you know the only other person ever to have retired as reigning Grand Tour champion? As a reigning Grand Tour champion?
No.
Lance Armstrong.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he retired for a couple of years before his comeback, after winning the Tour de France in 2005 for a seventh time.
So technically what we're saying is that Simon Yates is the only rider to have retired as reigning Grand Tour champion.
Well, no, because Lance was the reigning Tour de France champion in 2005, wasn't he? He was just stripped of his titles 8 years or so after that.
A technicality, Dan, but a fair point. Mm. However, is a retirement if you then come back again?
Well, that's a different question, isn't it?
I mean, you can say you're retiring, but if you come back 5 years later, maybe Simon Yates will come back five years later. How old was Lance in his first retirement? He can't have been that old.
34? Mm-hmm. I'd have thought. 34, 35?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what we wanted to discuss today is, despite all the sidetracking, whether or not this is another sign that pro bike racing is now so tough that careers are going to be increasingly short.
This discussion has kind of been around since COVID year, I think, 2020. Reason being that many pros saw that as a turning point whereby every race was sort of off the charts fast and there was no point in even turning up to race unless you were 100% race ready and fit.
Yeah, other changes include the increased intensity and specificity of training, which means that many pros, well, they choose to train alone, but they kind of have to
exactly,
as well, yeah. Don't they? Yeah, the vast amounts of extra time that riders have to spend at altitude, which would really suck.
Yeah.
Then there's the extra scrutiny over food intake, both in terms of quantity and type, including essentially force feeding yourself 140 grams of carbs per hour every time you ride a bike. And then add into that the reduced length of an off-season at the end of the year.
Yeah, gone are the times when you restart on your bike on January the 1st. Got back 2 or 3 weeks off now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, it's not that professional cycling has ever been easy, of course. It hasn't. It's just it's become all-consuming 24/7. Something you have to think about for every waking hour if you really want to be competitive in the modern era.
Something to think about, but it's also something to live.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to think about cycling every waking hour when I was pro.
Used to?
Well, I still do. Yeah, exactly. And I find it really quite pleasant. But I think actually having to live it, different matter.
Yeah.
Now, we should also say that Yates is a rider who has seen both sides of the coin, hasn't he? So pre and post COVID. And he clearly adapted to the new cycling. You don't win what he did last year otherwise.
No.
But perhaps it's just all got too much for him.
Well, it clearly must have done. I mean, my hunch is that after that stage 20 of the Giro d'Italia last year, he was sort of pushed over the edge psychologically. I mean, any of you watching cycling for any length of time will remember that Simon Yates, he lost the Giro d'Italia on that Colle delle Finestre climb back in 2018. You'll also be aware he's quite a guarded character when it comes to the media, so we don't really know much about Simon Yates beyond his characteristics as a professional cyclist. But he burst into tears after he won stage 20 last year, which, incidentally, is his last ever upload to Strava.
Yeah.
That's quite the mic drop as well,
isn't
it?
That is quite a mic drop, yeah.
And I'd say that having crossed the line victorious at the Giro d'Italia, having put all those demons to rest, or exercised them, whatever you want to say.
You exercise them, please, yeah.
He exercised them. I think that was just so much for him to take mentally and psychologically without even realising it before he accomplished it, that it was just a release of emotions that all hit him and he just wasn't expecting it. And he wasn't expecting to feel how he did after that day.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, right? It was a real exercising of the demons moment, as you say. And one that he probably wasn't expecting either. I'd imagine it would be quite hard to come back from that sort of natural high. Although, we should say, he then at least kept it going for the Tour de France, didn't he?
Bit like a huge rock band that hits the peak of like 150,000 seater arena and then maybe struggles with the motivation to write the next big hit.
Potentially.
Well, probably not the great anecdote, but anyway, we'll stick with it. I expect the editor will keep that in. Anyway, coming back to whether this sets a precedent for riders retiring early, though, what are we thinking about that at this point?
Well, so first and foremost, I think we should say that Yates isn't retiring early, per se. Unexpected, yes, but he's 33.
True.
He's been a pro for 12 years. He's actually been going for that long. We raced against him. And no, he wasn't a junior at the time.
He was 18, though.
Yes.
He was just out of the junior.
But, yeah, not actually a junior. But do you know how old Eddie Merckx was when he retired?
Well, just by the fact you've asked me this question,
sir,
I'm going to guess 33.
Exactly, yeah, just over 12 years as a pro. Bernardino was even younger. He retired just before his 32nd birthday after, you've guessed it, 12 years as a pro. I think their careers were equally intense, but for different reasons. The races were longer in duration back then. They did well over 100 races a year, sometimes even closer to 200. Mm. But I bet they were able to drink more beer and eat more chips.
Well, yes.
Poor old Simon Yates.
From that point of view, it was a bit more relaxed, wasn't it? Let's have a look at some more recent examples then, or at least one. So Peter Sagan, he retired at 34 years of age after 14 years as a pro. So Yates is not really an anomaly, as you point out, no matter what the era. He certainly does not prove the theory that riders are going to have shorter careers in modern cycling.
No. How old were you when you retired?
Just turned 32, actually.
32.
Yeah, you?
30.
Oh, young. The intensity all got a bit much for both of us, really, didn't it, of cycling?
Well...
in our modern era.
I had basically achieved everything I set out to achieve.
Me too, yeah.
So I just sort of... I left with a mic drop, yeah. Basically. Yeah. The contracts were hard to come by.
There was the contract issue we both had as well, yeah. But really it was just a mic drop moment for both
it
of
was.
Us. What else could we have achieved, really?
Well, I mean, it's true. Couldn't have achieved much more.
No. Or less, ironically. Both were true.
Okay, right. I think there is also the point, we should say, that riders are turning pro earlier than before, aren't they?
Mm.
So whilst it might be that there are more riders who retire at 30 or 31, they still may well have been pro for 11 or 12 years by that point. And that would certainly be the case for riders like Evenepoel or Paul Sexhouse, who turned pro straight after the junior ranks, didn't they?
That is very true, yeah. But then what about the counter-argument? There are a lot of riders who are retiring very early because they just don't want to do it anymore. I guess fairly recent examples being Marcel Kittel and Tom Dumoulin.
But they were 31 when they retired.
Were they really?
Same as Bernard Hinault.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah. Jan Ulrich.
I'll take it back.
He was 33.
Mm.
There you go.
It's all about the same age.
Bjarne Riis, he was 33.
No. He must have been about 52.
No.
If you look
I mean,
at
he
photos.
Looked 52, but no, he was 33.
He was 33.
According to Wikipedia, he was, yeah. But I
need to double check that.
I think it's the Valverdes and the Geraint Thomases and the Marianne Vosses of this world that are the anomalies. I mean, it's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not normal to have careers that are both that successful and that long. Not really in any sport either.
Well, I guess if we're talking about other sports, Ronaldo, Roger Federer would be other exceptions. I can't say it.
Exceptions
to the rule,
yeah.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would, yeah. But and then actually what those people, maybe you can't say they prove it, but certainly hint at, is that long careers are physically possible. Mm. So it's not that cycling is so hard that your body necessarily fails, although some riders obviously have that. But, I mean, we should say modern pros are probably physically healthier than they've ever been.
Almost certainly, yeah. But on the other hand, another news story that I saw on Pink Cyclist. Look, Pink Cyclist? Pink Cycling. I'm not doing very well today, am I?
Pink Bike?
Pink Bike, yeah, that's the one.
Pink Cyclist?
Pink Cyclist, yeah. You know, the no caffeine, no nicotine, no alcohol thing, it's not doing me any good, sorry.
No.
I was saying this off air to you earlier. Anyway, I saw on Pink Bike some news on Sammy Maxwell of New Zealand. You'll know this, many viewers won't, but she won the UCI XCO Mountain Bike Series last year, but she's taken an indefinite sabbatical from the sport, saying she needed to take a break and recharge her batteries. And she turned 25 in December just gone, so she really is young.
Yeah, absolutely she is. But I think the point here maybe is that there have always been examples of people like her taking a temporary step back from the sport at a young age. So that is also nothing new, per se.
No. So inconclusive, then. I guess the jury is still out. Unless you're Si here, whose verdict seems to have been made already by the sounds of it. Cycling may be more intense than it ever has been, but there's not really enough evidence just now to say it's going to lead to shorter careers or more burnout amongst the pro riders.
No. Perhaps wages have gone up so much, it means that there's just less incentive to keep going.
Or more incentive, because each year nets you an extra Lamborghini or two.
Well, that is true, yeah. Unless you're Van der Poel and then you just get them for free.
I know, it's annoying that, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, you may disagree at home. So if you do, and even if you agree, please get involved in the comments section down below. I would love to hear your thoughts.
I would as well. Yeah, I'd like to hear people's thoughts because it was a surprise and a shock, wasn't it? We should also finish this segment of the show, Si, by saying a huge congratulations to Simon Yates. He was a rider who sort of quietly got on with his job, but there aren't many riders who get out on top as he did. Fewer still who do so with 11 Grand Tour stage wins and 2 overall Grand Tour victories.
No, well said. A career that any cyclist would be proud of. Also, he has the accolade of, I think, one of my favourite ever GCN videos. So during COVID...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, it's a bit of a hidden gem, but we had Simon Yates, Adam Yates... Alistair Brownlee and Johnny Brownlee, plus me and Mark Threlfall from GCN.
I was commentating on it.
Oh, you were, yeah, doing a Zwift race. And the fact is, like, they were so good-natured about it all, and they gave, like, full on. Like, it was a proper race. And Anyway,
maybe that was the start of the end for Simon Yates.
Maybe it was, yeah. I mean, he comprehensively beat me, so it wasn't like it had any shocks in the system there.
As we say, he's got nothing more to accomplish, has he?
Well, that is
another box ticked.
Yeah.
I also wonder whether this might finally be the time where he and his twin brother Adam Yates finally get to sort of swap out Grand Tour stages, like one day on, one day off.
I mean, it'd be easier to pull it off now, wouldn't
it? It would be, yeah.
So, we'll wait with interest.
So if Adam Yates wins this year's Tour de France, you know why.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and before we carry on with our retirements.
Not our retirements, si. We're not going anywhere.
Sorry, no.
Unfortunately
not
for you.
Our retirements, our list of retirements. We'll start actually with some sad news, that of the death of the founder of Cannondale, Joe Montgomery.
He created the company in 1971 and named it after a local station in his home state of Connecticut. The first product was a bike trailer called the Bugger.
Really?
Apparently so, yeah. Maybe that doesn't translate so well across the pond here. But anyway, the first bike was a touring bike in 1983, and it was a pioneering approach of fat aluminium tubes that set the brand's path for many years to come.
Yeah, some of the stories from the early years of Cannondale sound pretty rock and roll, not least that Montgomery flew his own private jet, by all accounts. But then even some of their sponsorships, like Missy Giove, you'll remember her, from mountain biking, and then the infamous Mario Cipollini. It's got to be said that my love of early 90s bike nostalgia has that area of Cannondale quite high on the list.
Oh, the blue Cannondales with the fat tubes. They were so cool, weren't they?
Yeah, I like the red ones, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, well, we won't be battling over them on eBay. That's good. next up, keep your eyes on Brendan Johnson at the moment because he is midway through his epic 4,000-kilometre pursuit of an FKT riding across Australia from Perth to Sydney.
Yeah. This is epic. The pro gravel racer is doing about 16, 17 hours in the saddle per day and averaging about 220 watts on his time trial bike. Yeah.
Sounds like he's been battling some epic headwind as well, doesn't it? So in spite of that power, his speed has been about 32 to 34 kilometres per hour. Just brutal, really.
Good luck, Brendan. His target is to better 6 days and 10 hours for 4,000 kilometres. So, well, rather him than me, I think, actually.
Or me, Si. Mm. I'll say the same thing. Sticking with the theme of rather them than me anyway, something that we missed off last week's show, the winner of the most bonkers festive 500 goes to Matthew Fairbrothers, who rode the full 500K in 23 hours and 57 minutes.
Yeah, which is bonkers, but not the fastest of the winter, as I think you talked about last week.
We did.
However, Fairbrothers did his ride entirely by lapping a McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, you heard that correctly. All 350 metres of it. I mean, what a totally savage and pointless undertaking. But fair play, Fairbrothers. You win the Festive 500 Nutter of the Year Award 2025.
Yes, next year, if anyone wants to take the crown, I think you're going to need to do it around a roundabout. Someone's probably already done it around a roundabout.
People have done that. I don't know whether they've done 500Ks, but they've done a lot round a roundabout.
Yeah. Anyway, as we said at the start, this is the retirement edition this week. And first up, the world's most famous bike mechanic, Calvin Jones, who has been the friendly face of Park Tools for the last 28 years or so, has announced that he will be hanging up his spanners. Mm.
It is 2026, Si. He probably hasn't had to use spanners while working on a bike for a good decade or more.
Well,
hanging up his star-shaped Allen keys, they're called.
Yeah, not a posh bike, maybe, but he works on all sorts of bikes.
True.
So I reckon he's still handy with a cone spanner.
Very true.
Well, or
very
two
true.
Cone spanners.
Anyway, he's a very passionate teacher, and he's helped millions of people, either in person or online, with his unparalleled knowledge, but no-nonsense approach. He's a real legend, isn't he?
He is, a man immune to both marketing bollocks and cycling snobbery.
I would go along with that, absolutely. While he's retiring from day-to-day work at Park Tool, he's still going to be keeping very busy, including, he says, looking forward to focusing more on his riding and figuring out when to use his dropper seat post.
There you go. Good luck with that. Mm. And the next chapter, actually, Calvin. Well, we can tell him that in person.
He's coming over, isn't
he? Yeah, he's coming to GCN Megabase on his farewell tour, I believe.
So look forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
Next up on the retirement list, this is a sad one actually. So cyclocross pro Elisabeth has formally announced he will no longer be racing again, nor even able to ride his bike recreationally owing to an issue with his femoral artery, which is restricting blood flow to one of his legs. Not particularly uncommon, actually, amongst pro riders, but after two surgeries, the issue is still not resolved, and so doctors have advised him to cease riding a bike altogether.
Yeah, that is awful, isn't it? I really feel for the guy.
Hopefully, 28.
Hopefully he can find another outlet, or at least enjoy cycling like Dan does, which is to say, by not actually riding a bike.
Yeah, watching other people do it. Very happy indeed.
All right, finally on our list of retirees, former MotoGP rider Alex Espargaro, who was one of last season's most interesting pro cycling signings after he joined Lidl Trek at the age of 35.
We were kind of hoping for some descending daredevilry at the very least, weren't we? But sadly, it was a tougher gig than he expected. And so 1 year on, he's announced that his pro cycling dream is over.
Yeah, so he said in an Instagram post that it has been tough, demanding and brutal. Many hours of training, almost permanent fatigue, sacrifices and injuries, and a lot to learn from a new world at 35 years old. But he says as well that he's challenged himself every day to be up to it, and one thing he can assure you of is that he's very proud of himself.
To be fair to him, that is pretty impressive, isn't it?
To even try, like you said,
at that age. Finally, in Cycling Shorts this week, I wanted to remind you that you can join me and my wife Lorraine on Zwift every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 GMT. Not strictly during work hour side, but during our lunch hour.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays, we do a 45-minute Zone 2 workout. And on Thursdays, much more intense, 4x4 minutes at VO2 max. Ooh. They're not pretty, but they're very, very good for you. Yeah. We continue to have sort of 250 to 350 people joining us on each of the rides.
Oh, that's really good, isn't it?
Magnificent.
Amazing.
So, yeah, we're chuffed to bits with that.
Funny, isn't it? Because when it was just you doing it...
Not as many, no.
No, people... Lorraine's obviously got a bit of star power.
I think we're starting to learn who the true influencer is. It's not me.
Or maybe you're like Posh and Bex. You're just better together.
Yeah, we'll go with that side.
Not that you're like David Beckham.
No, well, it just takes a couple of tattoos. I'll be there.
Now, we should also say as well, Connor is deep into the final phase of his prep for the formidable Atlas Mountain race, but he has suffered... Well, quite a horrible setback, hasn't he?
It's not been nice, has it? I mean, we'll let Connor explain it in more detail in a video that's coming up this weekend. But in short, his dream is still alive, but he's going to need a lot of help, including yours.
Yes, that's right. So you can join him for training rides on Roovy. So different indoor training platform. Keep your eyes peeled on social media, here on the YouTube feed, and also on Roovy itself for the exact dates and times. We will let you know.
I made a mistake, sir. I said that will end Cycling Shorts, but we've got one more thing.
We do have one more thing, a very important thing as well.
Aforementioned competition that we mentioned in the intro.
Aforementioned competition that we mentioned.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. I mean, we're nailing things today, aren't we?
Aforementionedly, we did, yeah.
Yeah. I think presenting's got so intense that I might retire early from it. Anyway, we of course use Vision Wheels here at GCM, but this time you can win one of their awesome Metron 5D carbon cockpits.
Yeah, stiff, aero, comfortable, and not to mention, perhaps most importantly, things of absolute beauty. To begin with a shout, click on the link in the description. But we do have to say, a bit of sorry, not residents of every country can enter. So there are some territory restrictions.
Yep, so make sure you check out whether you can enter when you click on the link in the description below. And all that leaves us to say is good luck. Next up, it is hack forward slash bodge of the week. Our first one this week comes in from Cycling Kumru, who put, I saw a YouTuber promoting a performance nutrition for cycling. Checked it out. It looked great and like something I would enjoy. After reading some of the customer reviews, people were saying it was a bit like Turkish Delight. I thought to myself, I can make that. So I did. It's really simple. You make a sugar solution and a corn flour paste, add flavouring, then combine until thick. Let it cool, cut to size. I've cut mine to 2 centimetre cubes. Two cubes weigh a combined 30 grams, so come in at about 27 grams of carbs per pair. Cost me about £1.50 to make 650 grams. Nom.
Crikey. They're not cubes, are they? I mean, I don't want to be pedantic, but...
I think you do want to be pedantic.
All right.
But it's one of your favourite things.
It looks a little bit like raw chicken.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, when you put flour on it. Coat it.
Well, fair play to you. I mean, I can't imagine it literally is... Like
Turkish Delight.
Well, carbon copy, yeah, but fair play.
That looks... I'd like to try one.
Would you?
I mean, don't send it through the post.
Even though it looks like raw chicken.
Yeah, it could be a test, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know your raw chicken?
Urban legend had it that former British pro Jeremy Hunt used to do training rides with no food until he completely blew his doors, and then he'd stop at a petrol station and buy Turkish Delight.
Oh, would he?
Apparently, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Takes a line, a can of Coke. And look where
jobs
got
are good.
Him.
Jobs are good, isn't
it? It's an LA test team.
Right, I'm going to hack with that one if it works.
Yeah, yeah, if it works, right. Yeah. Fair play, yeah. All right, next one comes in from Stephen. Well, how are we thinking?
Booner. Oh, he's so mature. So mature.
Oh, God. Stephen.
Oh, dear. Just say Stephen.
Right, next one. You might have to do it, mate.
All right.
Right.
Okay. Moving on, this next one comes in from Stephen, who put the... you can't laugh like that while someone's introducing it. Next one comes in from Stephen, who said, the headlight I have has a sharp cutoff to avoid dazzling oncoming traffic, but I was always messing with it, going between too low to see far enough, or so high that I'm blinding anyone oncoming. By using a laser level, I could easily set a line at exactly the height of the headlight and see on the opposite wall how high I could set my headlight before I run the risk of blinding people by aiming it upward instead of slightly downward. Aim the cutoff just a bit below the laser line to make sure it's pointed slightly downward and lock the angle by turning the pivot screw good and tight. Good to go, knowing the light is aimed as far as I can. Oh, just lost myself. Without risking blinding anyone oncoming.
I mean, I'm flabbergasted at this.
Unbelievable level of detail to go to, isn't it?
So, I'm assuming this is like a one-off static test as opposed to...
Every time.
Yeah.
Well, you'd hope so.
I mean, it must be, mustn't it? I mean, fair play. Just as long as you've set it to the average or the minimum headlight, like car height... Because otherwise, you know, some car drivers will get blinded and other people will be okay, won't they? You'd have to account for people driving Lamborghinis.
Well, yeah, right down low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say hack. I mean, it's not the sort of level I would go to. I would just aim my light so low that I could see where I was going. I knew I wasn't going to blind any oncoming motorists or pedestrians or cyclists.
Yeah. It looks like a good light, though.
It does look a good light.
Yeah, fair play. Yes, I suppose I might have to say hack as well, even though I sort of feel like it might be overkill.
Well, it's definitely overkill.
But, well, anyway, yeah. Stephen, fair play to you, because I like that diligence. I do. Okay. I actually do. Right. Yeah.
Another hack then.
Right, next up, this one from Nikolai Lip. I found this e-bike locally and thought it was a nice invention.
It's unbelievable, this
thing. Oh, my goodness. What? Is that like half... Half a scooter?
It looks like half a scooter. If you're listening to this in podcast format, this is sort of fairly budget hybrid-style bike, I'd say. First thing that strikes me is the massive suspension stem at the front. It's a bit like a Cannondale Headshot located just underneath the stem. But anyway, at the rear, well, then there's like a pannier bag that's... pannier frame bags, like I call it. That's presumably housing the battery and motor.
Yeah.
And then some sort of link to what... as Si described, is half a scooter, the rear wheel of a scooter, that's attached to the right chainstay and seatstay, which then presumably propels the whole bike forward in a sort of tricycle type way.
Yeah, and it looks like it's attached by a kickstand. Do you know what? If someone is actually listening to this and trying to work out what on earth we're looking at, they have no chance.
Yeah, if they ask AI to draw that, it's not going to look like what we're looking at, is it?
But it's... So it's effectively turned a bike into a three-wheeler... with the extra wheel being the motor.
I mean, it's a bodge, right?
Well, I mean, but is it actually a thing? Oh, there's part of me that thinks that it's a legitimate kit.
Really?
I mean, it looks quite neat.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
Well, I really hope not.
For those of you who are watching rather than just listening to this, if you know whether this is a thing, let us know in the comments below with a link and... we'll get back to you next week.
We should probably also ask for people's help on judging whether it's a hack or a bodge. I mean, I think it is a bodge, isn't it?
It's absolutely a bodge.
You reckon?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we don't need your help. Stop typing. Okay. Delete it. All right. Can we end on a good one?
Oh, there's two more to go, mate.
Two more? Yep. Whoa, crikey. Tim Rice sent this one in. Titanium and sailing. I thought with your latest video on titanium bikes, this might fit nicely and is also a hack. Brackets. I believe. I could not give up cycling while sailing around the world, so I had this fork mount made for my Bossy Strada to match the cabinetry on my catamaran. That's quite cool, isn't it?
On my catamaran.
Yeah, check it out.
Mm. Hack.
Yeah, I'd say that's a hack. I mean, it's very much in pride of place, isn't
yeah.
it?
I initially thought the Christmas baubles were attached to the bike, but they're not. There's a piece of string oh, yeah. just in front of the bike. But
really, it's attached to the handlebars.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so it is, yeah. Extra special effort made. But yeah, it does match the cabotry. It's a lovely looking titanium bike. Sort of GT colours at the front from back in the day, isn't it?
Yeah, I like
GT
that.
GT mountain bike.
Just don't lean back when you're sat on that seat. Otherwise, you'll bang your head on a SRAM red chainring.
Yeah, there is that, isn't there?
And then hopefully you wax your chain, because otherwise you get like an oil mark on your head.
Apart from that, an absolute hack.
Apart from that, yeah, it's cool.
You asked if we're going to finish with a good one, Si. Unfortunately, not. this came in from Mike Bike. Not strictly uploaded as a hack or bodge, but we managed to find it in a different folder. He says, I was at my girlfriend's the other day and I noticed the family portrait on the wall, most notably my girlfriend's dad, John, who I think is a dead ringer for Dan Lloyd.
I mean, it's uncanny, isn't it? Even that really trendy haircut that you were rocking in 2009.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I genuinely get a lot of comparisons to Hugh Jackman, as you will attest, Si, don't I, over the years.
Oh, loads.
There has been
absolutely
a lot.
Absolutely loads, yeah.
I obviously love that one, because he seems like a decent-looking chap.
Yeah.
Often described as the skinny Hugh Jackman, has to be said.
Not
still,
anymore.
Not anymore.
You look like Wolverine now.
Oh, I see. Well, now, Si,
I
look like Wolverine at all. I look like Mike's girlfriend's dad, John.
What I'm interested to know, Mike, is whether or not the family resemblance between dad and daughter is quite strong.
Yeah.
And actually, are you going out with a girl that looks faintly like Dan?
Oh, dear. Sorry, Mike.
I imagine if he's like, I'd never thought about that, but you're right. She looks like the female version of Dan. Once seen, never unseen.
Oh, imagine if they split up because he can no longer be with his girlfriend because he keeps seeing me. Oh, dear.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I mean, it wouldn't be amazing. but anyway, thank you very much for sending that one in, Mike. That's absolutely brilliant.
Bodge. Yeah. Oh, not even casting judgment.
No, I think it's a hack.
Oh, dear. Okay. 100% all right, we'll
hack,
finish
yeah.
with that. If you'd like to get involved in this part of the show next week, globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after we've dealt with the results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one of Mathieu van der Poel winning a cyclocross race, so it could have been anywhere, basically.
Yep.
Our winner this week is Cheesemonger97, who put, as cyclocross is no longer a challenge, Mathieu will be competing in the Bicycle Dancing League next winter.
I like that. He actually looks like he's listening to the kind of music that they tend to play at Belgian cyclocross races, which I don't know what it's called, but it's...
Europop.
Well, it's more like Belgian happy hardcore, isn't it?
Is that not the same thing?
I don't know. It's horrendous. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, we do know for a fact that the Alps Interkoning team like listening to that, because we've been present when they have been listening to it, haven't they? But anyway...
Yeah, they love it, don't they?
They really
they
loved
it,
yeah.
Into it.
Yeah, really, like, properly into it. Anyway, there we go. I like that.
Yep.
Congratulations. Well done. Simple but good.
Get in touch, Cheesemonger, on Facebook with your address. We'll get that bottle sent out to you. This week's picture comes from the Soudal Quickstep team launch in Spain a couple of weeks ago. This is Paul Manier alongside a couple of his teammates on stage and in the photo behind the stage. I'll get you started. Paul Manier lays claim to being Soudal Quickstep chief sprinter after taking Tim Melier out of the picture. Doesn't look like he's about to pick Tim Melier up and sort of cast him aside, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I like that, mate. I wasn't sure where you were going with that for a minute, but no, good one. If you think you've got a good caption, then stick it in the comments. You might win yourself a Camelback water bottle.
We will, of course, shortly be letting you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but we've picked out a few of our favourite comments in the last week's worth of videos. We will start, as ever, with a few from underneath last week's GCN show with me and Ollie, colour-coded in these top sides.
Oh, I noticed that. I thought you looked very lovely, the pair of you.
Thank you very much. Izzy Horner wrote in to say, with the amount I ate this Christmas, I'm surprised my frame hasn't snapped.
Got a lot of likes, I did. Carlos Luda said, I want to start my ride off at horrible after about 20Ks. I thought, Sod it. I'll regret turning around now. So after I hit the point of no return, another 40 k's later, I felt like I was going to throw up. When I finally got home and went straight to bed, woke up with a bad fever and was sick for a week. I regretted that workout.
Yeah, sometimes you do just have to listen to your body, don't you?
Sometimes you do, yeah.
Alex went to do a 3-hour session on Zwift the other day, got 2 minutes in, felt rubbish, did about 6 minutes total.
Did he?
Yeah. But people like Alex, and I reckon Carlos as well, are very dedicated, and you can do yourself more harm than good.
You can. Yeah.
John Cannings wrote in underneath last week's show saying, Ollie Bridgewood sat on the left of screen, whatever next? This has not happened to my knowledge on the channels ever.
I think Cannings has missed a few.
Oh, has he?
He does. He does like to go on the other side, so to speak. But anyway, yeah. Right. Can anyone ride a cargo bike? Was our video from Saturday last week. User OV2FB7XI4S. I have a front loader cargo bike and have been ferrying our two children around town, doing the supermarket shopping and generally using it as a car replacement for over 4 years now. My advice would be that there is a bit of a learning curve to getting confident riding a front loader, but after a week or so, it just feels natural. Also, with larger heavy loads compared to a long tail, it's so much more stable as the cargo is closer to the ground. And the cherry on top is that my kids love riding in it. Mm. So there we go.
Yeah, there were a lot of people giving advice after their experience of using a front loader, weren't there?
Yeah.
Stangeritz put, this video is perfect proof that cycling brings fun. Everybody's smiling, even when struggling to control a large and heavy bike.
Yeah, that's cool. And then Nostromo said, I think we need an Ollie challenge here. Front loader e-cargo bike after 6 pints on a Pikes Peak descent. Are you trying to get rid of Ollie or are you trying to challenge him? Because it feels a little bit like it might be the former.
I think people just want another thumbnail where Ollie's green.
Yeah, yes.
Like the hangover challenge one. And just finally, underneath, we took vintage mountain bikes on an epic gravel ride. The broken character put, finally, a wheel-truing tutorial that I can understand.
And the reason we're doing that to the poor wheel is because it had just been run over in a car park. I actually thought it was Ollie's fault that he had left it behind this poor unsuspecting dog walker's car. But no, it was not actually Ollie. No. I've been blaming him falsely. It was Connor Ryan.
Yeah.
Connor.
Producer Connor Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, not Connor Dunn, different Connor. Yeah. Sean Durkin said, Ollie said it best, money shouldn't be a barrier to go out and have fun. Mm. Amen.
Absolutely. We might do a GCN show on that subject in the near future. K Lewis put, the Gary Bar came in two versions, the Gary Bar High and the Gary Bar Low.
I thought that was so good, that comment. I actually screenshotted it and sent it to Ollie, who is currently on holiday. So
I don't know how big take that were or are outside of the UK, but Gary
hopefully viewers the world over are chuckling away at the Gary Barlow joke.
Take that, massive boy band in the UK for the last sort of 30 years.
Pretty much,
years.
Yeah. DC Truck Guy said, this is by far my most favourite GCN or GMBN video ever. I'm 61 and I rode these bikes new. Matter of fact, my GT RTS 3,
remember
those? Yeah. Is sitting here in my room. 90s mountain bikes are my favourite. I have newer bikes, but my KHS Montana Comp from 1992 is my go-to bike. Most of the time, my brother had one of those.
Really? Mm. Yeah. I've got a few saved searches, as you know, on eBay. So I won for a GT Zizang, whatever it was.
Shazang.
Is that what it is? Is that how you said it?
I believe
I've never said it like that in my life.
I'm pretty sure it's a Shazang.
Another one for a Kona Hi-Hi Titanium. They go for lots of money these days, though. So I keep looking at these amazing examples, thinking, well, not paying that much for it.
They've probably just gone up in value now as well, because we made a video saying how good they are.
Yeah. I should have got it when I could have done. I could have made a profit if I'd known.
Probably, yeah. A bit like insider trading.
Exactly, yeah. Could have made like £200-300 out of that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I only wish I'd known that Wout van Aert was going to run those green Michelin Wild Gripper cyclocross tyres before that World Championship.
I've got some of them at home.
Have you? Well, I sold mine. I basically gave them away for nothing, and then he went and did that, and they put that anyway. Yeah. Yeah. One day, someone's going to use a Campagnolo 11-23 cassette to win the Tour de France.
And then we're going to be,
We'll be laughing. Yeah,
then we can sell them, put them in an ETF fund, get about £1 million 10 years down the line.
Genius.
Anthony Wilder, this is why gravel bikes are so popular with old people like me, 51 years old. They really take you back to the amazing fun we had on 90s mountain bikes, but with brakes that work.
Yeah, that is very true. But I think it's not just about taking you back either and reminiscing. It's what was fun in the 90s is still fun now, because fundamentally, humans haven't changed.
Yeah. You know, they're bringing the Malvern Classics back.
It's been back for years, mate.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. A bit behind the times. Moving quickly on then. What's coming up on the channel this week? Well, it was supposed to be on Thursday, but it's going to be on Friday instead. Connor talking about how he's training for the Atlas Mountains. As we said, he's been a little bit under the weather, so we need to give him a bit more time to tell you about how he's been training and also to sort of let you know the hitch that he's been going through.
Yeah,
in order to get ready.
Yeah, and then we're really excited for the feature this weekend. So back when GCN Plus closed, when we all found out and everyone was notified, Connor was out in Peru with Greg Van Avermaet, no less, doing a bikepacking adventure. And they found out midway through the shoot that GCN Plus was no more. And our filmmakers, who sadly lost their jobs, made the decision that they wanted to carry on and film
Amazing,
it.
Yeah.
We've never been in a position to put this video out, but it's happening this weekend. We're all really excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, those documentaries were big to put together and to shoot and film and organise, etc. And as Si mentioned, we just haven't really had the resource since GCN Plus shut to get some of those unfinished documentaries out. But we are really excited to put this one out on Saturday.
Yeah. So there we go. Connor goes bikepacking with Greg Van Avermaet. Who knew that was a thing? But it was.
Happy days.
Right then. I think that's it, mate.
Well done for getting through to the end. If you've got this far, give us a thumbs up just below. And we'll see you again this time next week.
And don't worry, we will get down some stimulants for next week.
Yeah, so I can actually, you know, speak.
Actually, that might have been edited out and that might just be a really weird thing for me to have said.
Yeah, well, there's only two people watching now anyway.
Good point.
Yeah, see you next week.